Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
I remember it was a commercial audition for a Panera, I think.
Okay.
A Panera commercial. And the premise was that it was like these five kids had just graduated high school, and the tradition was to go and jump into a lake. Obviously, you can't do that in a real audition room. So they just had to stand on a bench, and they were like, okay. And then you guys are all going to run in, and you guys are going to be like, come on, guys, it's our tradition. It's our tradition. And then you're going to get on the bench, and you're all going to hold hands, and then you're going to jump. And so we're like, great. And so then we like, they yell action, and we like all run in, and this one girl just takes her shirt off and was like, yeah, come on, guys. And we were like,
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. If you're not subscribed to the show, make sure you hit that subscribe button now. Leave us some love via the reviews if you can. And hey, we started a Patreon, so if you want to see this episode, the full interview with our real faces talking to each other, go over to our Patreon. That link is in the show notes, and you can check it out. It has been a busy few weeks. I know that we didn't have an episode last week, and I apologize. It has been a bit chaotic on my end, but we're getting there. We're getting there, friends. I don't have much to report. Actually, I do. I do have something to report. It's less of a report and more of a finding, if you will. I just finished Beyond the Wand by Tom Felton. And there's this section in here where he talks about his first disastrous audition in LA. And I want to read you a little bit of an excerpt here. Essentially, Tom was going to audition for a TV pilot. He wasn't aware of the way that pilots were made and how many were made. He even said, once I made it to the audition room, it became clear that I was one of countless hopefuls. I was given a place to sit with at least a dozen others and waited for three or four people to audition before me. I could hear everything that was going on in the audition room, not the norm in the UK, and that did nothing for my nerves. That was interesting to me right there, because it's something that I grew up with, and it's something that all actors in, I feel, America deal with. If you're in an actual audition waiting room, you can normally hear the people who are going before you. And if you're not confident in your choices, that can really start to mess with your head. But to continue here, he says, my turn came. I walked into the audition room to see six people sitting in a line looking bored and unimpressed. If they recognized me, they sure as hell didn't know it. I gave them my brightest smile and said, hi, I'm Tom from England. They said nothing. I went down the line shaking hands with them all, but when I got to number three or four, I started to suspect that this really wasn't a shaky hand moment. One of them confirmed my suspicion by saying, could you just go and stand on the X and say your lines? I laughed so hard at that, because I fully remember as a kid, like, being drilled in my head, like, you don't touch the people. Do not shake hands. Do not, like, go for a hug. These aren't your friends, essentially. He continues, I looked over my shoulder and saw a gaffer tape X on the floor. Right, I said, sorry, and I took my place. As I stood there, they barely seemed to register that I was in the room. The reality of the situation clicked in my head. They'd been sitting here for hours. They'd heard the scene every which way it was possible to say it. It was for an unimportant character, and they either didn't know or didn't care what I'd been in previously. On the contrary, they couldn't wait to get rid of me. As these pennies dropped, my nerves went off the scale. The part for which I was auditioning was a nervous character, but I'm not sure that helped. I bumbled my way through my lines in a highly perplexing American accent, one line from Texas, one line from New Orleans, the next from Brooklyn, occasionally repeating myself to ensure that I'd said my words right. I was cringing, and they were cringing more. Halfway through, three of them were on their phones. Never a good sign. I wanted to read that to you because that was post-Harry Potter, where he experienced that. That was post him being in the, what I would say, the largest and most successful film franchise, kids film franchise ever made. And he went through that. So I think it's important for us to realize that, you know, our bad auditions, our funny auditions, they can come at any point in our career. It doesn't matter what we've done before we enter that room. Anything can really happen. And I think it's a good lesson in staying humble, which Tom talks about as well, is how L.A. really, you know, in that aspect humbled him. I don't know. I thought it was a really interesting audition story that I wanted to share with you all because I found it to really, it really exemplifies what you go through as an actor now. Most of the time people are on their phones. They don't look up because they've heard it before. They don't really care. They're there because they have to be there. And these are usually like the studio execs. It's not necessarily the director or the writer or the people who are passionately involved in it. It's the people that have to be there contractually that don't really give a damn. Anyway, it's a great book. He does talk a lot about Harry Potter, but there's some really good insights about other things. So if you're looking for a book that, you know, is lighthearted and takes you through the journey of an actor, especially a young performer, pick it up. It's pretty good. It's called Beyond the Wand. And speaking of people involved in very successful kid franchises, today on the show, we have Frankie Rodriguez, a.k.a. Carlos from High School Musical, the musical, the series. We talk about the show. We talk about acting. We talk about a lot of things, including the musical he's in right now called Calvin Burger. And we had a great time. So here's our chat. And welcome to the show, Frankie.
Hi.
Welcome. I'm so excited to have you on the show. I just saw you in Calvin Burger, and I thought you're absolutely amazing. So good.
Oh, thank you.
And we'll get to talking about that more. But before we get into all of the wonderful things that you're currently working on, the first thing that I always like to ask my guests is, what made you want to become an actor?
What made me want to become an actor? I think it's just, part of it makes me feel like you're born with it, like the constant need for attention. but I think it was also just, I think, influence. I was very influenced by, of course, the big one, which is Disney. Mm-hmm. And I had like every book on tape. And so that kind of, that's where it started, just acting out those little scenes and stuff. But then as I got older, I started to realize like, oh, you can actually have a career in acting. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I think that's like something I would want to do. That, and I just never felt like I was good at anything else. Like no real big, like, you know, trade skill. So I was like, I'm either going to be like a secretary or like an actor. There's going to be like no in between. And luckily I do feel like the business part of acting is a lot of like secretary work anyway.
Yeah,
so I feel like I'm doing that for myself. yeah, I think I was just influenced by the things that I was consuming as a kid and, you know, dreaming like one day that could be me.
Hmm. And what was like the first time that you took an acting class? What, were you under 18 still? How was that for you? And how were your parents involved in it?
I actually very heavily involved. It's kind of started with my mom. She put me in every after school sport that she could possibly think of. And of course, I hated all of them.
You're like, I cannot do this.
Yeah, and I wasn't just like bad at them. I was also like very, there was like an attitude that went with it where I was just like, I'm going to pretend to do this really bad. So like, you don't ever have to like make me come here ever again.
Oh, so you were acting before you were acting.
There you go. And thankfully my mom was able to see through that or see something. And we all grew up, I'm a very, very musical family. So we all like play an instrument and we all sing. And so, but never really the acting thing. And so one day when we were at the library, my mom found this postcard that something about like auditions for a kids show, like all kids. And so that kind of started that. And my mom enrolled me in that. And I was like, whoa. And that was the first time I had ever met other theater kids. Mm. And I was like, oh, we're all weird. And we all like sing whenever we want to. And do you know what I mean? And like, we don't have to explain ourselves or our behaviors. So I think that was the first time as a kid. So really my mom is kind of the one to blame for everything. And then, you know, once you get the acting bug, I don't think it ever goes away. You're kind of always looking for an opportunity.
Well, yeah, because there's nothing else in the world like it. So it's not like you can compensate with something else. Like this is the only thing that you can do.
Yeah. And then doing that bled into doing high school theater and then branching out and going and doing like community theater. And I was always in a show, and that's really all I cared about was like, what's the next season? What show can I be in? What can I do? And I didn't even like want to be the lead or anything. I was like, I just want to be in it. Mm. So that's kind of where all of that started.
That's so true though. Even with film and TV, it's like, you just want to be in it, right? It's not like I don't have to be the person who is talking the entire time. Heck, let me be the person who's in the corner the whole time, watching it all go down, and then give me the couple like good sidelines.
Yeah, there you go.
So what was the first TV or film venture for you?
The first TV film venture would have been an episode of Modern Family.
Okay.
I think I had a total of three, maybe two lines. And it was a big deal.
It's always a big deal when you get that first co-star role. I mean, hard to get. There's hundreds of people auditioning for things. It's difficult to even land that.
Yeah, and that was a cool one too, because Modern Family was a show I would watch with my family. And of course, by then they were 11 years in, 10 or 11 years in. So to be able to call home and say like, I booked something on Modern Family, and them know what the show is. Because sometimes you'll go in for stuff and they'll be like, I don't know what that is. You're like, okay. So then it kind of like takes away like the cool factor from it somehow. Yeah. But getting to call home and say, I I'm going to be on a show we watch. That was really cool.
And where's home for you?
I grew up in Selma, California. So it's about 3 hours from LA. It's like the dead center of California.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you moved to LA right after you turned 18, right when you were like, I'm out of here?
Yeah, I took a gap year after high school because I really didn't know what I wanted to do. As much as I loved acting, I never really looked at it at that time as like a career. And so I was like, well, let me just audition for AMDA, because I had some friends who had gone there and they had like wonderful things to say about it, and I cared more about getting out of the small town versus the school. So I was like, if this is an easy way for me to transition into a big city, I'll take it. And it kind of just like all worked out. And then once I got there, my initial thought was, well, let me just get the bachelor's degree and then I'll figure out what I can do with it later. And then my senior year there, we would get a lot of people who like industry people who were watching our class and stuff. And my feedback was always positive. So I was like, well, let me at least try it. And so after graduation, if I'm not on TV in 5 years, then I'll like give up this whole thing and like, you know, and I don't know
five
where I got
years,
that number
that's
from.
Pretty short.
Well, that's the thing though. It wasn't like you need to be the lead in a movie. I was like, if I can just be on TV in any capacity, whatever that means, if I could just be on TV in 5 years, then I'll know that like something can start from there. Mm-hmm. And then a few months after graduation is when I booked my first commercial, and I was like, okay, that's going to be on TV. So that's one. And then it kind of just like snowballed from there.
Wow. I mean, it's great to set goals for yourself. And I feel like a lot of this industry, if you don't have that innate belief that it's going to happen, and that you just got to believe it's going to happen, it's like you could so easily fall out of it.
Oh, yeah. I think most of this career is just living in a fantasy world of like, well, maybe someday.
So true. So how did High School Musical, the musical, the series, come about for you?
I was sitting on the couch and I got my little notification and it just said audition. And you know how like you can't read the whole entire email. Mm-hmm. So, but I just said audition, High School Musical. I was like, done. Because I already knew it was going to be adapted into a series. And probably like a year prior to that, I remember reading about it. And so I was like, okay, it's happening. So I confirmed right away. And
I don't even need to read the breakdown. We're good.
I confirmed and then I read the breakdown. I was like, oh, okay, so this is going to be really fun. And then, you know, did the whole, I think it was 5 auditions over the course of 3 weeks. And then it was like, it was so quick. I kind of always assumed those things would go so slow because, you know, you're like kind of like casting a show. But I think my character was like the tail end of the roles that they were casting. So everything was very quick.
Wow. 3 weeks. I mean, I've been through testing processes that are like 5 months long. I can't even imagine 3 weeks. It's crazy.
I honestly kind of prefer it because then you don't have time to get in your head or like remember that thing. And I was also, it was like I remember it being like a really meaty audition season too. So I was going in for all of these other things too. So High School Musical was just one of, a lot of different things I was going in for. So I was like, well, one of these has to work out. Like I would hope. And then luckily the one that did.
And it sounds like it was kind of like the perfect thing for you. You'd been preparing your whole life in theater and musicals to do a role like this.
Yeah, I feel like it is my greatest manifestation. in the weirdest, most bizarre, pleasant way possible of always, you know, I grew up on the Disney Channel and always looking up to those people that were doing those, not just on their shows, but got to go off and like have their own record deal, or they went off and did Broadway, or like doing all these different things, everything that I wanted to do. And it was all still within the world of musical and performing and Disney. And I was like, that's what I want to do. So this, it just worked out in a, it's like, I don't know. It definitely is meant to be, I think.
We're going to take a quick commercial break and then we'll be right back.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
And back to the show.
And is this your first time in a lead role on a show for like a long sustaining series?
Yeah.
And how has that been for you? I mean, like the actual work behind it, I don't think people understand how long the days are. And when you're doing episodes back to back, how have you managed to like stay mentally healthy and physically healthy and get yourself and your voice resting?
Yeah, I mean, that it is like, it's almost like a marathon. And I think in terms of like High School Musical, you go away because we film in Salt on location in Salt Lake City. So not only am I like gearing up to go do this, but also like I have to like pack up and move. So it definitely is like mentally preparing. Like we're going to shoot this show for 4 months. And this past season, which was our fourth season filming, we didn't get any breaks. So we shot them all the way through.
Oh my gosh.
So luckily, I'm a very organized person. And so it was a lot of just like always just keeping tabs on where we are, what we're doing, what's going on. And every day, it's always something. If you're not filming, you're recording a song. And if you're not doing that, you're in a dance rehearsal. So it is a lot of, you know, it almost feels like a college program because like, it feels like every day you have class and every class has homework. Mm-hmm. So, it's all fun. Like, this is like what you want to do. And in some ways it really does feel like a vacation from normal life to get to go off and like actually do the job now and not have to like worry about auditions or anything like that. So, in a way it's a vacation almost.
It's a working vacation.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't like have to, you're not living in your place. So like, you're not really thinking about keeping things clean. Like you just get to live like a college student.
I love that. Do you know when that's coming out, the new season?
I don't. Obviously sometime this year, but I'm not too sure if they're eyeing for a summer release or a fall release or even like as soon as spring. That seems too soon. But I know they're working hard on it.
Well, and in the meantime, you are off doing Calvin Burger at the Colony in Burbank.
Yeah.
Which is so good. I had no expectations going into it, and I absolutely loved it.
Oh, thank you.
what was that process like for you? How has it been putting on this like very large musical in this space?
Yeah, it's been fun. I haven't done a show in about 4 years, and I haven't done a musical in about 5. So it definitely is like, it's comforting knowing exactly what I'm getting myself into. Like, I know mm-hmm. we're going to do rehearsals, and then I know it like tech, and then I know the show will go up and all of that stuff. But this one, for some reason, it is like, my like brain is working double time just to make sure that, you know, everything runs as smoothly as possible. And of course, every day, every show, something still goes wrong. But, I think that's also the fun of live theater, is that like you kind of, you're in it right from when it starts, and then you go all the way straight to the end. And I'm not like a thrill seeker. I don't like roller coasters or like scary movies or anything, but like this feels like a safe thrill to be like, oh yeah, it's starting. Like once the overture starts, knowing that it until bows, it's like you have to be in it 100%. Mm.
For the listeners at home, can you tell everybody what Calvin Burger is about?
Yeah, Calvin Burger is what is it's the Cyrano de Bergerac. Am I saying that right?
I think so.
story set in high school. So it follows these four characters around, and you know, kind of like, of course, miscommunication, and of course dealing with body image issues and what they're going through, and they all have like their own thing, and of course, like, you know, lots of paths are crossing.
I think that's one of my favorite things about the musical was, one, how honest it was about the struggles that teens deal with. I mean, everyone deals with it, but it's like just really amplified when you're a teenager about your body. And then two, just having this very small cast of only 4 people. And I mean, y'all really held your own up there. That's a difficult challenge to get through an entire musical with only 4 people, no backup dancers. There's no ensemble. It's just you guys.
Yeah, I do. I've never been in a show with this small of a cast before. And I feel like I'm always waiting for like the 5th or 6th member. I'm like, wait, is this 1, 2, 3, 4? I guess this is everybody. but they're an awesome group of people to work with.
That's so cool. Well, that's very exciting. What do you want to do after, let's say, after High School Musical is over and that phase of your life is behind you? Where do you see your career going?
I have always been the type of person who I'm open for anything. And of course, I have all of these dreams that I want to do. But it's just a matter of when it feels like it's going to be like the right time. Mm. So I have so much faith in myself that I will get everything done that I want to do. I like, if we're talking like big, open, wide, like, of course, I would love to be on Broadway. I would love to like lead a film. I would love to like write a book. I couldn't tell you what that book is about, but like, I know I want one. There's like all these things that I want to do. But I think it's just meeting myself halfway and kind of figuring out like, what do I actually want to do right now? Because I don't want to just put out stuff just for the sake of putting stuff out. I really want it to be very organic to where I'm at in life. But in terms of after High School Musical, the biggest lesson I've learned with that is I love being on a TV show, and I love working in that type of environment. So I think I will always follow that, or look for those opportunities. But I don't know, life is crazy. And especially I think what we've seen in the last couple of years, it sometimes it's not all up to you what you get to do, but, 100%. Yeah, I think just, you know, meeting life halfway and always showing up and, you know, looking for something fun to do. That's like where I think I'm at right now, is if I read something and, you know, or like an audition or something, and I'm like, I don't know if this sounds fun to be in. I am like now starting to pass on those things because I just want to have a good time.
Mm. I think you said something really interesting too, which was that you don't want to just put stuff out there to put stuff out there. And I think we're living in this really cluttered space right now where there's so much content, and it just feels like it's nonstop. And a lot of it also feels like, did this really need to be made?
Yeah.
And I think it's, I mean, that's such an important thing is realizing what you feel is important to put out into the world versus what maybe your fans want or what your agents and managers want or whoever in your life is saying, do this, do this, do this. And just, you know, going inward and saying, no, I want to do this instead.
Yeah, I think we also like, especially in the world of TikTok, and I love a scroll on TikTok. I spend hours on it. You're kind of made to think that you have to be everything, and do everything and be good at everything. And I'm like, you get five things that I can attempt and maybe be good at, but I can't be good at everything. And I don't want to put that pressure on myself to, you know, go down an avenue that maybe I'm just not meant to do. I think if there's an interest and that interest sparks like some sort of business venture, I'm down to go down that route. But in the meantime, I'm like, I'm also like so fine being chill.
Yeah, I'm so fine not doing the crazy TikTok dances. I understand that.
Yeah, like that's not me.
It would be bad. It would be really bad.
But when you watch those things, doesn't it make you feel like, well, that's the content, so we got to put out content, you know what I mean?
It does. I mean, I think for me, I like doing like the lip sync ones because it reminds me of, I don't know if this is before your time, but we used to have a thing called Dub Smash that was around. Oh, yeah. I mean, it reminds me of Dub Smash and it makes me feel like nostalgic. So I think those are fun. But you put me in front of a camera to try and do a dance or anything, I'm like, baby, no, this is not how this works.
No. I'm not trying to do homework to do a TikTok. And some kids, like, we have a lot of younger kids on the set of High School Musical, and the way they're able to edit in real time and put together, wild. I'm like, there's too many buttons already. And I hate sounding like that because I never wanted to sound like, you know, old, but
an old like, copyright.
I'm like, I just tell me how to record something.
Yeah, I get it. I'm right there with you. It makes no sense in my brain. I'm like, can't I just go do something else instead? Can I plant a flower? I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, on this show, we like to share funny or bad or embarrassing audition stories. Is there one that you'd like to share with the listeners?
Embarrassing or bad? I feel like I prepare for auditions like, so if anything goes bad, I have like a way out of it. There's been some wild ones for sure, but in terms of like bad, I remember it was a commercial audition for a Panera, I think.
Okay.
A Panera commercial, and the premise was that it was like these five kids had just graduated high school, and the tradition was to go and jump into a lake. Obviously, you can't do that in a real audition room. So they just had to stand on a bench, and they were like, okay, and then you guys are all going to run in, and you guys are going to be like, come on, guys, it's our tradition. It's our tradition. And then you're going to get on the bench, and you're all going to hold hands, and then you're going to jump. And so we're like, great. And so then we like, they yell action, and we like all run in. And this one girl, just takes her shirt off and was like, yeah, come on, guys. And we were like, okay. And then so we just finished off the scene. But I remember thinking, like, is that what people are doing?
Oh, my God.
I just thought it was so crazy.
Like, the instant embarrassment I would feel, not only for her, but, like, myself and everyone in the room. I just don't even know.
But the way everyone just like handled it too, we were all just like, okay. Yeah. So I think that's probably been one of my crazier auditions.
That makes my like face want to turn bright red. I just don't know that I would be able to handle that.
Yeah. I mean, I still remember her till this day. I'm like, whatever happened to her?
Do you stalk her on Instagram? Let's be real.
Oh my gosh. I'm like, I hope she's doing well. She made bold choices, okay?
She stuck to a choice, and that's what matters. There you go.
We can't falter for it.
No. Speaking of choices, do you have a specific way that you break down a character, a script, or anything before you go into the audition? Is there something that you've learned that's helped you as an actor?
That has helped me as an actor. I think especially when things are coming in so quickly and you have such a fast turnaround time and you're not really granted, in some cases you don't even get the whole script. You're just given about like 4 to 5 pages. So I think trying to put as much as myself into whatever the character is. So even, so if there are like five descriptive words, but I really only fit three of those in like my actual personal life, I'm like, okay, just let me like push those through and maybe act the other two. So I think that's like a, I guess my process to like internalize something fairly quickly, because in most cases you just do it and then that's like the only opportunity you get. So I guess like that would be my process.
Okay. I like that. I think that's interesting that you choose which ones actually fit into you as a person and then decide which ones you have to like find.
Yeah. Cause like it is kind of a game, right? So you want the callback, and then of course, once you get the callback, you probably get a little more information about what they're looking for and notes that they gave. So yeah, I'm just like at this point, at the first process, I just want the callback. So whatever is going to like separate me or make me like sparkle or whatever, I'll do that.
Is there anything crazy you've ever done to sparkle more?
Just try to like make, in some cases, crazy choices. There's sometimes when I'll go in for things and I'm just like, it's really not me. And I like can envision like five other people that it could be. Mm. But I'm like, so in those cases, I tend to make the more bolder choices just to show like, hey, and sometimes it has paid off. So yeah. I think just like crazy choices within reason to the project. Yeah. Cause it's just like, at least I did something, right?
Yeah. Okay. So I've been doing something recently, which is a lightning round of just like four little questions here. So with the lightning round, try not to think too much. Try to answer quickly. Are you ready?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Instagram or TikTok?
TikTok.
Pasek and Paul or Andrew Lloyd Webber?
Pasek and Paul.
Show that you're binging right now.
Real Housewives.
Person you look up to the most?
Oh, my mom.
Oh, I love that. That's it. That's so sweet.
Wow, that was so fast.
It's a lightning round. I mean, that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
I love that. Shout out to mom. What's up, mom?
Shout out to mom. She's the one that called and actually interrupted this interview. So maybe
hi, mom. She knew that you were going to talk about her. That's it. She heard us talking about you before.
Yeah, probably.
So I know you mentioned you might want to write a book at some point. Do you have any aspirations to also go behind the camera?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I think there's really nothing that I look at right now and think like, oh, I want to do that someday. But I try not to say no. I don't want to like shut myself off from anything that could be meant for me. So, but right now I don't really see myself behind the camera, but it's not a total no.
It's not a no. We like
that. Yeah. Because then like, what would it be? You know, like, I don't know. Maybe like directing, I guess. I don't
direct,
know.
Direct, you could produce.
Yeah. I could see myself producing something. Yeah.
You're like, wait a second. Should I be producing something?
I know. I mean, because that also like, you know, what if I win the lottery? And then I'm like, well, now I have all this money and I want to produce something, you know? And then that sparks an interest.
Let's make 10 movies. Come on, let's go.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I've loved having you on the show. Do you have social media that people can follow you on? I'm sure you do.
Yeah, I am on Instagram at Frankie A. Rodriguez. And then I'm on TikTok at Frankie with three E's Rodriguez. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm not really on Twitter.
I think Twitter's a dying art form, which makes me very sad because I used to love it, but it's...
I never hopped on that train, but...
It's leaving us. And how much longer is Calvin Burger up at the Colony?
Calvin Burger, as of right now, we have four more weekends. We run until March 26th. So you have a full month to come catch Calvin Burger.
A whole month. Everybody needs to go. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been so fun talking to you.
Thank you.
Thanks again, Frankie, for coming on the show. Tune in next week for another fun-filled chat with another fun-filled person. And until then, make sure to check out those links in the show notes. Head on over to our Patreon if you want to see this interview, you know, with our actual faces doing the talking. And until next time, thanks for coming in.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.